much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, here we go. Check it out. All right. Good times.
If you don't mind.
Bad boy!
456.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo! I know where you at, man. You had it all. Now it's gone. It's torn a hole in your soul. Bigger than my Escalade. So you turn to the drugs. The alcohol. The pornography. Free basing with OJ. Human trafficking. Dog fight / orgies. Darkness. But let me tell you something. As a man who has come through the dark and into the light, I can assure you that the will of the Lord is not limited to just me. If you need me, I'm here for you. Not just as a friend, as a brother in Christ.
And now.
This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, not possible. You have to determine who's saying that, and then you can discount it.
Right.
He says
that a lot.
It's an emergency. You go, no.
When am I going to be on your show?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I can't wait. Soon. First of all, outstanding impression, Lisa. Yeah. Second of all, can't wait till we could talk
today
to
with Lisa's impression is the answer to that.
Yeah. For folks who have been wondering, and I doubt there are many of you, we have been advised, and it has been requested of us that we do not speak with the Armenian comedian until his court date, where he will answer charges as to why he tried to blow up the radio station and kill everyone in it. So they've asked us to kind of keep our noses out of it until that date. We're dying to talk to him.
Well, technically, he only threatened that.
Right.
Yeah.
That, he didn't try. Right. That we know of.
Technically, yeah. Exactly. So anyway, so we'll look forward to that. By the way, your phone call is coming up for the Thursday edition of Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Mike, you've talked to Sam, though, off air, right?
You
had a conversation with him.
It was a whole different guy. Kevin,
really?
Were you listening in when last time I talked to Sam on the telephone?
No.
You know how he is. I mean, you could be talking about the most serious thing on the planet, and all he wants to do is talk about his career and being on the. I call Sam up. And, hello, Sam. What's up, Psycho Mike?
I am so sorry. I must let you know you are still my friend. I don't mean nothing. I bad man. I make it so we are good friends all the time. I feel so bad.
And I said, what? I'm sorry.
He never apologizes for anything.
No. You know I am joking. I never will hurt you. I love you. And Kevin Bean sure so good to me. I hope we still be friends.
And I was like, oh, well, Sam, all right, cool. Everything's cool. Let's relax a little bit. Let everything die down. And everything's going to be okay in the end, I think, Sam.
Okay.
And there was no plugging of any you know, big event. There was no...
He was a beaten down man.
Well, that's what needed to happen from day one.
Yeah,
I think that sobers you up fast when you realize you're in actual trouble that could result in you going to jail. I think that all of a sudden it's just not it's not nonsense anymore.
Right.
It's for reals.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't have extensive knowledge or a history with jail, but Sam does not strike me as the type of guy that would do well in it.
No. No. Not even like a holding cell where it's not. It's just down at the precinct, you know what I mean? It's not even that he would be very bad at.
And some of his they are jokes, but some of his racist jokes would not go over well.
That's
say
a good
with
point.
The Bloods and Crips and you know the essays and stuff.
And he doesn't
have a filter.
He doesn't have a clue.
Nope.
The filter, yeah, but even a clue of maybe this isn't a good idea in this particular situation.
It's all comedy to him.
Yeah, yeah, and to us as well. So we can't wait for that.
Soon we hope we'll get a chance to catch up with them.
All right, let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
It's a pretty sweet deal. You come to Universal Studios Hollywood right now, and for the price of one day, you get to visit all year long with no blackout dates. That's crazy, crazy. Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of Los Angeles. That's what you get for being on the Kevin and Bean Show for What to Do Nephew on a Thursday. You want to start with the number one Kevin Bean listener.
Of course.
Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California, who's on line one. Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
What's happening,
How
man?
How you guys been?
We've been very good. You?
Guess who I met? Those two stars from the 90210.
You met them.
Shanae Grimes and Anna Lynn McCord.
How did you meet them?
Yep.
How? Where?
Somewhere in West Hollywood.
You just ran into them on the street, or they were having a personal appearance, or what, Dewan?
Just ran them on the street.
No way! No way!
April Fools.
He got us.
Serve you.
See, because it's April Fool's Day, so he didn't
actually serve you.
Well played.
He didn't actually meet him.
That's a good one, Dewan. You're funny.
That was a good joke.
But I will meet them in the future.
I'm sure you will.
Hey, Dewan, we were going to call you next week. You know that they're both coming in on the show 1 week from today, right? The two girls from Beverly Hills 90210 that you love are both going to be here at the radio station.
What time?
Around 8 o'clock, 1 week from today on Thursday. Is that something you'd want to come down for? You want to talk to them on the phone, or what do you want to do?
Just come down to meet them.
All right.
Would you behave, though, if we let you come down in person? You wouldn't embarrass us or anything?
No, I will behave myself.
How dare you ask that question, Bean? Like, well, he's ever embarrassed
always
us.
Always a gentleman.
But you guys can email me.
We will. We'll give you a heads up.
Okay. So you think you'd enjoy that, though?
Yes, I will join you guys.
All right.
Well, good time. April Fools, it's too bad it's not really happening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dewan.
Oh,
yeah, we got you April Fool's Day. Sorry, Dewan.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Good night.
I'm not positive that the understanding went both ways on that one, Bean.
I must say I enjoyed that very much.
Wow. I looked at Mike and I was like, I didn't know we had
a
man.
I didn't either, but I figured we knew.
So I guess I got you all then.
Wow.
Shane is on line two with a question for the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, hello. What's going on?
Hey, I was just going to ask Kevin, I think he's had this problem. I've had insomnia for the past month now.
Good times.
I was wondering, what do you do about it, man? It's killing me now.
Well, first of all, weed.
I don't like weed, but that's the problem.
Well, I can't help you.
No, hey, his answer is more helpful than yours. I was just going to tell you to sleep more.
No, I mean, there are a lot of things you can do if you exercise. Do you exercise? You play any sport or run or work out or anything?
Hike or jog.
Yeah, you do that during the day. That's supposed to help you at night, you know.
Yeah.
Don't eat too close to bedtime. You know, they have all those things. But
I've also heard being on your computer too close to when you go to bed stimulates the brain in a certain way that makes it harder to sleep. So,
okay. Sometimes I'll try to play video games or be on the computer while I'm bored.
The truth is, it's better to read a book. That is more conducive to shutting your body down, reading a book, than looking at something online. Lisa's right about that. And you should try rubbing one out, too.
Fire
two.
One off.
Rub two out, yeah.
Yeah, that helps.
That was going to be my other suggestion.
All right, well, maybe Lisa tells me, too.
All right.
Rub one out, baby.
Yeah!
There you go.
Let's try Carlos, line four, calling about one of the exciting developing sports stories in the world these days. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Yo, what it do, Kevin and Bean? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do?
What's going on?
I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you guys think of Donovan McNabb going to the Raiders? Are the Raiders actually going to be good this year?
I don't think he's going to go to the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not going to happen, and no.
Would
you go to the Raiders if you were him? I mean, he's getting old, and yes, he could still play.
Right.
But I would retire, I think.
Rather than go there?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I can't.
I mean, he does, the truth is, because I've been fascinated with this, because you know I have the Raiders in my crosshairs all year long. He does not have a no-trade clause. The Eagles can try to trade him to the Raiders, but my understanding is that Donovan McNabb has and will refuse to negotiate a contract extension, which means that the Raiders could only get him for 1 year, and they're not going to want him, apparently. Apparently, all these teams want somebody that they can use for longer than a year.
Yeah, of course.
And he's not going to allow that to happen.
To try to get Wing to play with them.
Okay. All right. I'd be in. All right.
I don't think that it's that bad an idea, and especially in the AFC West, they're not that far off from being a team that could do something.
Right. I don't. Yeah, but that never even entered my mind. You know what I think? Al Davis is the owner.
Yeah, no, dude, you're right.
So right there, I'm not going. It might work out. The team might be better. You know, a lot of the players are fine.
It always, recently, has seemed like it's the place that's most saturated with chaos. You know, the Oakland Raiders. But I'm just saying, it's not a team that's that far off. You're not going to the Rams or a team that couldn't possibly do something.
I agree.
With the addition of Donovan McNabb, especially in that division, they could possibly piece something together.
Totally agree. And you have to deal with the owner, and then you go, bad move.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't go. Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's squeeze in one more just because it's such an awesome story. It's Brooke on line 3. Kevin, I know it's baseball, but stick around. I think you'll like this.
All right. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I always wanted to say that. I was, just before I left for work right now, my husband and I watched the news, and on Channel 7, there was a baseball team in spring training yesterday, and I don't know what team it was, but the initials on the
Twins
were TC.
Yeah, it was and the Twins.
The baseball player hit the ball, and it popped up and hit his mom in the head.
Oh. Come on. How about that?
What?
His own mom?
He was batting, and he hit a foul ball, and it went right and hit his own mom in the head.
Yep.
I think it hit her in the chest. Thank God. Didn't hit her in the head, because fans have been killed in the stands at baseball games by being hit by foul balls. But, it hit his own mom of all the people in the stands, and he jumped into the stands to be with her while the medical authorities came and they took her away. It looks like she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But how freaky is that?
Yeah, that's...
Of all the people.
What are the chances?
And it was just like last week when Hideki Matsui for the Angels hit a foul ball out of the stadium that smashed the owner, Artie Moreno, of the Angels' car windshield. And I thought, how unlikely is that of all the cars in the parking lot that you hit the owners? Well, this is even weirder. You hit your own mother in the chest with a baseball.
Wow. Awesome.
Hilarious. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Hang on for your Universal Studios prize, okay?
Fantastic. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what you're talking about, but my gut says no.
Okay. We have Dr. Drew on the program. Every Thursday we talk to him about whatever. If he's got a show going on, we talk about that, like Sober House.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask him if he's had an ass full of Psycho Mike yet since Mike took over Loveline this week.
Another great question. Jesse James, I want to ask him about.
Oh, yes.
So we got that coming up today. We also have thanks for that info, Bean.
Yeah!
Oh, come on!
What are you talking about?
This is a good one.
Well, I'll see your thanks for that info, Bean, and I'll raise you, does Kevin know, on today's Kevin and Bean Show. How about that?
It's a battle.
Yeah. How you like me now?
Well, less. We also have weird sexual preferences.
Yes.
Apparently, you talked to somebody last week who really, really can't have sex indoors.
Just outdoors.
Just have to go outdoors.
Yeah.
Which sounds great to a lot of people, but then the discussion was, that might get old by the...
Like today, raining, cold. Now what?
Depends on how hot she is.
Right.
She better be really hot.
But maybe she doesn't want to go outdoors because it's raining. And
well, that could be.
Kevin would have sex with her on a bed of hypodermic needles if she were hot enough.
We also have Kevin Amin, Citizen of the Day, which I think you'll like.
Okay.
And we're going to talk to Twitch about the Nuclear Cowboys. I don't know if you've seen this, but...
I don't even understand that sentence.
It involves motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And, like freestyle motocross. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, women. And
hot women?
Yes.
Yeah.
And fire and explosions. So.
That's okay. That's you.
This isn't something you dream. This is real.
You have my attention right there. Eric Stone Street, who plays Cam.
Yes.
On Modern Family, who is the best. That show really does rule. And can't wait.
Yeah, Eric.
And also tickets for April Foolishness, which is happening the day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long weekend, by the way. Today's, hey, we should play. Where's Don Bogart? Get that up.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's Good Friday tomorrow. We're off.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've checked. I don't believe that's the case, Kevin. No, it is Good Friday, we're not off. We still have to work.
That's not a holiday.
No, we still have today's show to do, and we are working tomorrow. We're not off tomorrow. I'm sorry.
I thought, but Good Fridays.
Yeah,
we do get Sunday off. They're giving us Easter off.
Nice.
Friday's not so good. I'd like to suggest. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is coming up.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. One day, Ralph Garman will be back and take back over the Showbiz Beat. In the meantime, we are filling in. You know, it's Justin Bieber's world, Kevin. You know that he owns this planet, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're not on the Twitter that much, nope. But he has been the number one or number two trending topic on Twitter, I believe, since it began. It's crazy. Oh, week after week after week, it's all Bieber fever on there. So I've had about an assful of this kid. He's 16 years old. His debut album came out this past week. It debuted at number one, of course. He is the youngest artist to have a number one album in America since Stevie Wonder back in 1963.
Wow.
How about that?
That's a while.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber, My World 2.0, number one. The new one from Monica debuted at two. Various artists. Now that's what I call music. Number 33 at number three. Lady Antebellum at number four. Justin Bieber's EP, My World, at number five. Here's the first one I bought, She and Him, Volume 2. That's the one with Zoe Deschanel and M. Ward together. That came in at number six. The new one from Ludacris at seven. Lady Gaga, eight. R&B singer Marvin Sapp at nine. And here's the other thing that amazed me. The Black Eyed Freaking Peas, their album, The End, still in the top 10.
Yeah, I know.
What has that been out? Like 2 years?
It's going to be one of the biggest of all time.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's the way it's headed. Unbelievable. Yeah. I know, just like earlier in the week when we took a look at the TV shows to see how out of step we were with what's happening in America, yeah. I thought this would do the same trick with the albums. It looks like I got one.
Yeah, it's a little shocking. It really is a little shocking that that happens. American Idol was on last night, and I don't care who got voted off.
Oh, she or he was good.
Back to you.
This is a great story that only gets greater. The Sarah Palin TV show, part of her big package deal with the Fox Network, debuts tonight. It is called Real American Stories, which sounds like it ought to be a Bud Light commercial, if you want my opinion.
Yeah.
She is doing an interview show tonight where they are going to be spotlighting extraordinary Americans who have made it big in this country, which I think is a nice idea for a show. It's a weird choice of people she's interviewing, including country singer Toby Keith, who will reveal the inspiration, Kevin, behind his song Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue tonight. That one about sticking your boot up the American ass. That one's going to be on the show tonight.
Yeah, how could we ever figure out what that was about or where it came from?
LL Cool J is another interview that has been heavily promoted on the Fox Network as being on the special tonight. Only trouble is that LL Cool J actually spoke to Fox News back in 2008 for a web series with the same name, Real American Stories. So he tweeted yesterday and said, I can't believe they're repackaging an interview I did with somebody else and putting it on Sarah Palin's show. LL Cool J was not pleased about that appearance, right? Fox came back with two statements. One saying, look, he did the interview for Fox. There weren't any restrictions placed on how or when we could use it. If we want to repackage it and use it on another show, we're allowed to do that. But here's the best part in their statement where they said, Real American Stories features uplifting tales about overcoming adversity, and we believe Mr. Smith, also known as LL Cool J's interview, fit that criteria. However, as it appears that Mr. Smith does not want to be associated with a program that could serve as an inspiration to others, dig number one, by the way, we are cutting his interview from the special and wish him the best with his, quote, fledgling acting career, end quote.
Wow, don't they usually write that and then somebody in PR goes, you can't put it like that. That's ridiculous.
Way to make LL Cool J, who's got a legitimate complaint, by the way, about his interview from 2 years ago being repackaged and promoted as part of a Sarah Palin show.
Yeah.
He's got a legitimate complaint about that.
Yeah.
And then they come back and just marginalize him to death by saying, oh, if he doesn't want to help kids, that's one thing. And then good luck with a fledgling acting career, as if LL Cool J hasn't been very successful as an actor, by the way.
And currently successful.
Currently on a hit show on NCIS LA. Right, exactly.
They do not let facts stop them. You know that.
It's unbelievable, though. I just that's the most unlikely war that I could have ever predicted would be LL Cool J versus Sarah Palin. I didn't see that one coming.
Here's all I know: if we would do that on this show, then it should be below the level of the news organization.
That's true. Yeah.
It's too immature for national broadcast television. Absolutely.
I could not be more excited about this, and I'm not sure how it's going to work. We might need more details in the future, but Comcast is rolling out a preview of its 3D TV. 3D TV.
Wow.
It's going to be used with sports. This particular one was Masters Golf Tournament coverage, of course. Who cares about that? But
I don't know. Golf might look pretty good in 3D, I guess.
I would think all sports would be amazing.
But you have to wear glasses.
You do.
That's
you do.
Weird.
But you would think they tried it with the Super Bowl in a theater or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's all the rage. They're going to do it for the World Cup this summer. I'm not exactly sure if you have to get a new TV or if somehow you can upgrade.
Do. You do. Okay. You have to get a new TV. Yeah, that's my understanding anyway. And I know that there are 3D TVs available, Kevin. If you wanted to, And I wouldn't because, you know, the price is going to come down so much in the next couple of years. But if you wanted to, you could go down to Best Buy today and buy a 3D TV.
No kidding.
If I know you, I know that you will do it before the World Cup.
I will. I think, you know, soccer, I love soccer, so 3D. But any kind of football.
Yeah, I agree.
It would all look amazing.
Anything that's a sport would be really cool to watch in 3D.
I think Brothers and Sisters would be good on 3D, too.
Moving right along.
We're talking about real shows, Lisa, not imaginary shows. I think that the 3D glasses are off-putting to a lot of people because it's one thing to go to a movie for 90 minutes or 2 hours and you're in a theater and you're wearing the glasses. It's not the most comfortable experience in the world, I'm told. But I don't think anybody wants to plan their evening around sitting down and putting on 3D glasses at home.
But you would.
You might get used to it.
I'll tell you,
it might just become a thing that you do.
You would be. And you love the Mariners.
Right.
They have a game on TV. You would try it on. And you go, if it looked good enough, you'd go, wow, this is great.
Yeah, that is kind of my fear because I think we're all at the point now where 2D, non-high def TV, I should say standard def TV, looks so crappy now. When you're on a channel that's not in high def, it's like you're watching it through a film, you know, through a grimy, dirty windshield or something. You only want to watch stuff in high def, and I bet if you started watching 3D, it would be the same thing. Anything that wasn't in 3D, you would hate. So it's a dangerous path to get on, though. That's what I'm saying.
So far, sports. Of course, porn.
Porn. It's got to be right around the corner.
Yeah, to be honest.
All right, today's celebrity birthday. She's the mom on TV's Smallville. An outstanding actress, Annette O'Toole, turns 58 years old today. Susan Boyle celebrating a birthday today. How old do you think she is? The winner of Britain's Got Talent, the number two best-selling recording artist in America for last year. How old is Susan Boyle?
82.
42?
I would have guessed around 60, but she's only 49.
Yeah, true.
It's not like she's been rode hard, and that's why she looks like that. That's living in the stable, she looks like that. Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan is 39 today. Remember Colby from Survivor Marquesas?
Colby?
He was the one who was rumored to be sleeping with his mom because he was so creepy about her. He is 36 years old today. John Gosselin from John and Kate Plus 8. Only 33, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you effing kidding me?
Wow.
How frightening is that? And a guy I have mixed feelings about because I love his product. I love what he does for a living, but he's a slime ball and a douchebag. Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild, 37 today. And that is the showbiz. It's Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, hell, it's Thursday everywhere. But in particular, we've got more tickets you can win for this Saturday night's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Concert. Sold out. Proceeds to a great charity. We'll meet one of the charities, a representative from Boarding for Breast Cancer, in a few minutes. And later on today's show, we'll give you a chance to win some up-close tickets in the Fancy Pants section. Stick around for that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, it's time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
As usual, I'm going to give you some headlines, and you can just pick which story you want to hear.
Okay.
First one comes from ABC News. Police say burglar uses church equipment to view porn.
Yeah.
All right.
Man arrested for stealing scratch-off tickets. That story's a little better than it sounds.
All right.
Man marries pillow. Yeah. Cops say nude man arrested in cemetery.
Oh, wow.
Or drunk fined for trying to bludgeon cop with penis.
I'm sorry.
Too many good ones.
That's a very difficult choice. I insist on bludgeoning the cop with a penis, though. I insist on that.
Let's see here. A man has been fined $900 for attacking a female British officer with his penis after he tried to hit her in the head with it. It wasn't.
What's this guy sporting?
It was not a sexual assault. He wasn't trying in any way to have sex or suggest sex. He was using it as a weapon.
How could he hit her on the head with it?
I think Bede's question answers that. The dude has no memory of the incident. What a surprise!
We've talked to those people
because he was completely drunk.
Was he using it like a 2x4? I mean, he was literally trying to hit her with it?
Yes.
Because that would indicate that it would be in some sort of a condition where it could be used as a weapon.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, dude. This story has everything.
Apparently the girlfriend saw how drunk he was getting and got a little worried, called the police, an officer showed up, and that's when he started just
beating him.
Literally hitting her in the head with it.
Oh, I can't even imagine how you would do that. Would you have to jump up toward her head to do that? Or do you have to? I love that story. So, all right, if you have time for another, how about Man Marries Pillow?
True love can take many forms, Bean. In this case, it has taken the form of a Korean man falling in love with and eventually marrying a large pillow with a picture of a woman on it.
Oh, my.
This guy's so last century. Right? I mean, we have to Aviv.
We have to Aviv. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what he's thinking. His name is Lee Jin Gu.
Hey!
And,
Wait, his last name is really Gu?
Well, it's Gu.
Gu.
Okay.
G-Y-U. You tell me. Maybe that is. I don't know. He's 28 years old. He had a service in front of a local priest. He's been completely obsessed with his pillow and takes it everywhere.
The priest actually married him?
Yeah.
Wow.
An official ceremony. They go out to the park or to a fun fair where he'll take it on rides with him.
It doesn't talk back. It won't break up with him.
He goes
Lisa, for saying what I was thinking.
It doesn't matter how much money he has.
He takes his wife's pillow to a restaurant, gets her own seat, and orders her food.
Nice.
And who eats that?
I don't know.
That's a really good question.
It doesn't say.
Pillow has very little appetite.
Really? I mean, how much money do you have? At some point, don't you just go, Pillow's not going to eat. So I'm just going to, could you bring an empty plate just so the pillow doesn't feel left out?
Love it.
Those are your two citizens of the day for today.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, let's talk about boobies. One of the two great local charities for this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show, Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, is Boarding for Breast Cancer, a charity I confess I did not know much about until we got a chance to spend some time with them last year. We had a great time working with the ladies, and we raised a lot of money for the charity, and we're happy to be doing it again this year. Let us welcome from that organization, Justine Chiara. Hey, Justine. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Aren't boobies just the best?
You know what? We love them. That's what we're here for. Let's keep more around, you know?
You don't know how lucky you are to have them. I swear to God, I think about this so often. I'm not sure I'd ever leave the house if I woke up tomorrow and I had boobs. Although the way I'm eating, I may have them soon.
You're making progress.
I'm very close.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Tell folks a little bit about Boarding for Breast Cancer, Justine.
Of course. Well, we're a youth-focused education, awareness, and fundraising foundation. So basically what that means is we focus on young women and teaching them the importance of being aware of breast cancer and early detection as the most valuable form of prevention. So we teach about how to do self-breast exams, the importance of having an active and healthy lifestyle.
Now, do you offer videos at all of the self-exams, or is that something that's handled
privately? We actually do. We actually, you know, if you go to our website, b4bc.org, we have a lot of information in the health section on early detection, and we actually do have a little video explaining how to do one. You're not going to be too excited about this. She's not topless.
Well, what's the point? Well, that's not the way. That's not the way to say. You're not recommending women self-exam with clothes on, are you?
Not at all. But I thought that maybe you were looking for an.
Of course he is. Of course, ladies, put on a parka, and then here's how you do it.
Now, Justine, I hate to ask a serious question because we're having so much fun, but I don't know a lot about breast cancer. Is it a super common form of breast cancer? Is it something that young women in particular have to be aware of that kind of cancer versus others, or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the most prominent forms of cancer for a woman are breast and ovarian. And at least with the situation with breast cancer, you do have an active way that you could be aware of your own body by doing the self-breast exams to detect a lump that would be something that could possibly be something of concern to go talk to your doctor about.
And if something is caught early, I understand there is a pretty good chance of being able to arrest it, right?
Absolutely. That's the best.
You can arrest it? That's odd.
Just an expression.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last year, of course, we teamed up with your organization, Boarding for Breast Cancer, at the April Foolishness Concert. I know we raised a lot of money. In what ways was that money used from a year ago?
Actually, what we did this year is we were able to start our Learn to Ride Survivor program with money from that event. Something we've been wanting to do for a while is, since we go to snowboarding, surfboarding, and skateboarding events, we've wanted to support women who have missed a season or two or who have never ridden before and get them out into nature, get them on the hill or get them in the ocean, especially after the, you know, situation of what they've just recently gone through. So we launched that this winter in Vail, Colorado, and sponsored six women to get on the hill and be part of a Retreat Yourself weekend where they did yoga and they had nutritional counseling and body-mind workshops, and it was a really wonderfully fulfilling experience, not only for the women, but for our organization.
Now here's what's really cool about April Foolishness is that Bean and I do relatively little, and the comedians, however, Jimmy Kimmel and his house band Cleta with the Cleetones, and Jay Moore and Aziz Ansari, and Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, all do it for free.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right. They donate their time.
Exactly. Joe Rogan. And those guys, by the way, those guys, some of those guys can command an enormous amount of money for a show. And they all do it for charity. And so that way, all of the ticket, you know, all the costs that we get, the money that we get from the tickets can go to a charity like this. And it really helps raise a lot of money. Whereas if we had to pay them, you know, we'd send over a check for like $4.99.
Sure.
Well, they love boobs as much as we do. I guess that's why we, you know, they say, "What's the charity?" We say it's Boarding for Breast Kids. So they go, I'm in. I can be there. I'm going to make it.
Good.
So anyway, a big thanks to them because that's what's making this happen.
Of course.
Real quick before you go, Justine, and thank you again for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How can folks get more information about Boarding for Breast Cancer?
B4BC.com.
Kevin, come on. Let her. This is important.
Wow.
Let her talk. I'm sorry.
It's
Kevin
so
did
early
that.
In the morning for that.
Wow.
I don't know why he would do that to a charity, but I apologize on his behalf. One more time, Jesse. What's the website?
B4BC.
Sorry.
There you go.
B what?
What?
What are you talking about?
This just
goes off every once in a while on its own, and it has a mind of its own.
Oh, my.
Give us the website for real.
I don't know if I can do it.
For real, though. For real.
Oh, like I was lying. But beef.
Oh. Why would you do that?
Because it's always funnier the third time.
I don't talk to many people at this hour, let alone be interviewed
I'm sorry.
And be assaulted. This is traumatic.
All right. I'll give the website so that make sure it gets out and I won't push the button.
Okay.
What is it? It's b4bc.org.
Yes.
Okay, there it is. Boarding for Breast Cancer, B4B, that's the number 4BC.org. Justine, will we see you at the show Saturday night?
Yes, you will. And thanks again to all you guys at K-Rock for supporting our organization and to all the comedians and all the listeners for
listening. You bet. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye now.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:50.
Irrational and emotionally fragile by nature, female co-workers are a peculiar animal. They are very insecure about their appearance. Be sure to tell them how good they look every day, even if they're homely and unkempt. And remember, nothing says good job like a firm open palm slap on the behind.
Thought it was good to revisit station policy before Miss Cleo steps in here to take a look at the showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman today. Let's all be sensitive because you know how moody she is. Hey, Miss Cleo, what's she talking about?
Good morning. All right, I hate to give these stupid idiots more press, but just when you thought they couldn't piss anyone else off, Spencer and Heidi attack again. Or should I say Running Bear and White Wolf, as we reported yesterday.
Sure.
They name themselves Running Bear and White Wolf, and apparently the Native American community is not too happy about that.
Really? What a surprise.
A spokesperson said the names they have given themselves are legitimate names in our tribe, and it's only further continuing the stereotyping of Native American people.
Right. But they know it's Spencer and Heidi, right? I mean, don't they just meet and go, yeah, we're not going to get anywhere with them?
When are they going to disappear? Really?
I don't know.
I mean, I know.
Soon.
By me talking about, like us talking about it, it only.
I know. I don't know.
Feeds
it's
the fuel,
conundrum.
But God, they need to die now.
They are completely.
I'm in with that.
On to someone with much more talent. Your girl, Precious, Gabrae Sidibe, set to host SNL coming up soon. Look, say what you will. She was great in that movie. Mm-hmm. Amazing actress.
fatty.
And by all accounts, she seems like a really cool girl. Everyone who's been talking.
I heard her interviewed. She seems really actually pretty smart and has a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah, that's what
my big head on her shoulders. I know that.
But how useful is she going to be in a sketch comedy setting?
Oh, because good point.
How many roles can she really pull off? Well, and she can't do celebrity impersonations.
No, but you can go right with all the fat skits.
I mean, I guess Oprah would be funny.
Sure,
but
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
John, Al Roker. She could be Al Roker.
They did like John Hamm's episode, I think, was the rerun last weekend. He's a perfect guy because he can be anything. If they dress him up as a dork, he's a dork. If they dress him up as, you know, an executive, he's an executive. Gabrielle Sidibe. She's pretty one-sided. You know what I'm saying? Like, she can't offer much besides giant fat girl.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
Because she's a gigantic fat girl. You can't put any makeup or costume on her to make her be a sex
but
pot.
She wouldn't say that about John Goodman. Right? He's a big, giant guy, but he could do a lot of stuff on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could both play Jupiter.
But she is literally the elephant in the room.
Yeah. John Goodman, way fat. And I'm not just trying to... It's not a man-woman thing.
Yeah.
Not even close to the same level of obesity that Gabourey's sporting.
Here's some chocolate fat, too.
Like
she
can't be the checkout girl in a grocery store skit because it takes you out of it. You're just seeing her behind
it's Saturday Night Live. It's not a movie. She could be the checkout girl in a grocery store.
Does anybody else agree, though, that she can?
Because
she
work at the grocery store.
She could be the checkout at the grocery store as long as she's taking something out of everyone's bag and eating
it.
And then the bit becomes, oh my God, that's the fattest girl that's ever worked at a grocery store. That's the problem.
If she's able to poke fun at her weight, I think she could probably do a really good job. But I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Maybe do a send off of Precious in some way.
Precious. That bitch.
How charming and chubby.
I am kind of excited to see how she does.
Yeah.
She's young.
I'm curious.
She's,
that's me for too. Sure.
She looks like she's a... All right. Anyways.
I know Spock's going to be there with his camera.
That's right.
Taking photos right up close.
Right.
Make love to the camera.
For all you boys, I have breaking news.
Yes.
That's my breaking news alert. Anna Paquin.
Yes.
Bisexual.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It keeps getting better.
The True Blood star did a video for LGBT, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender.
What kind of video?
No, like an announcement video, like a...
Oh, okay.
Like, what are those called? Anyways, a public service announcement. And she announces in it that she, in fact, loves the men and the ladies.
All right.
As many women do.
All right.
There you go. I don't know what you boys want to do with that.
I know. We're going to have to leave the room in a minute.
That doesn't quite erase
right
Gabourey, but it's close. It's a step in the right direction.
And MTV is gearing up for another season of Jersey Shore.
Yes.
The cast is being transported to the home, and MTV is transporting them separately. They are keeping the boys and the girls separate because they don't want any...
Hijinks?
Mixing around before the show starts. So they want to keep it all for the cameras.
But I don't understand this, because the Jersey Shore cast has been virtually inseparable since the thing went on the air, doing interviews on television, personal appearances all over the country. I mean, it's not like they haven't seen each other since the first season wrapped.
Yeah, I don't know why MTV's being so hardcore about it. It's kind of bizarre. And unless they just, for the sole purpose of they want to capture everything on camera... But I don't know, Bean.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
That hurts.
So, season two. Coming
at
ya.
3D TV. I want to see it.
It's just my opinion, but I think it's a big mistake to add anything else into the show. The Jersey Shore, to me, the gold, was that these kids were behaving that way, and they thought they were just normal.
Right.
And we got a fly-in-the-walls view of these ridiculous characters being all Guido-y.
Yeah, you don't need him working at the circus or anything like that, right?
Alex also told me that MTV is banning their social networking. They're not allowed to, no Twitter, no Facebook, as soon as they get on set.
Really?
So apparently they all tweeted their last tweet, like, I'm out, going to tape Jersey Shore.
That's funny.
Being a Guido. And for you 30 Rock fans, Matt Damon is set to guest star on 30 Rock.
Oh, that's awesome.
So no details about what he's going to play or when the episode will air, but Matt Damon on 30 Rock.
I'm no Mo.
butt.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good stuff.
He makes right my butt there. Hungry.
Yeah, the things I wouldn't do to Matt Damon. So hot. Celebrity birthdays today. Singer Susan Boyle. Bean said 49 today.
How charming and chubby.
Aw. she's got a good voice.
Yep. I'm sorry, I'm not a professional model. And screaming, make your face better, doesn't help.
Rapper, actor, Method Man is 39. Girls Gone Wild creator Joe Francis is 37. And douchebag, contraire, John Gosselin is 33 today. I'm Miss Cleo, filling in for Ralph. Come back soon, Ralph. We love you. Bye.
Where did this story for about the weird sexual preferences come from? The woman that would only have sex outdoors. That's the only way.
One of the British newspapers known as News of the World broke this story about the beautiful Danielle Vinsley last week. Yes.
Oh, because she's afraid of having sex indoors?
Like, she gets claustrophobic and freaks out.
So something called sexual claustrophobia is what she has. And she cannot. I mean, I'm sure she... you know, could close her eyes and think of England and force herself to do it. But in her mind, it is completely out of the realm of possibility that she could have sex indoors. It freaks her out. She won't have sex indoors. So she makes all of her boyfriends, I don't know how many that is, but she makes them have sex outdoors. And she says, you know, they think it's awesome at first, you know, doing it on the beach or at the park bench. Or I guess she can do it in the car or at least near a car. I don't know if it's in the car. That's the plus of her. But she says after a while, you know, if the weather's bad or they're just tired or they don't have that much time, yeah. They just want to get something on before they go to work or something like that. She says then they get real bored with it and they don't want to do it anymore. And she won't have sex indoors and they don't want to go outside. So then they break up.
She better be really hot. I mean, because if she's not really, really hot yeah. and it's raining or it's a little cold, you go, next time. I'll get you
yeah,
next
exactly.
time.
That's,
I've never heard of that sexual claustrophobia. Though, where she says she cannot enjoy it indoors at all.
That's really the bottom line when it comes to a guy's perspective of weird sexual fetishes, right? It's how hot is the girl and
is it worth me putting up with this?
Is what she's asking for commensurate to her hotness?
Right, exactly. Has to be.
Or no thanks. Like, ladies right. won't put up with guys doing really wacky stuff. I mean, they just won't. Whereas guys will if she's hot enough.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And I'd also like to say, I mean, let's face it, even though, and she hit the nail on the head, even though it sounds exciting and thrilling occasionally, nobody wants a steady diet of only outdoor sex, right? That is
no,
not sexy.
Depends on how hot she is.
That's no fun.
I'm telling you, even if
she's so hot, you'd still, if you had your choice, occasionally want to do it inside.
You would.
You know,
yeah,
sometimes you want to watch, sometimes you're also trying to watch TV, you know, and that, you can't pull that off outside.
Look, if it's a snowstorm outside, that sucks. You don't want to go out and have sex in a snowstorm, but if Megan Fox will only have sex with you in a snowstorm, you throw on galoshes and you tough it out.
You do what you got to do.
So the calls that we're looking for today on the Kevin and Bean Show, how are we phrasing this? Are we looking for things that you're afraid of or things that
it could be that.
Some sort
just weird sexual preferences.
Weird, yeah.
Okay.
But exactly. Preferences, here's the reason we were fighting over how to say it. Preferences is almost not a strong enough word.
Like, you know what I mean? You really need to do it this way.
Like that
or
girl,
this really can't happen.
That girl can't do it indoors.
Right.
And, you know, you always hear about people that have to keep their socks on.
Right.
I had a friend who knew someone who had to keep their socks and shoes on the whole time.
You're kidding.
Yeah, really? And I was like, what is that? Why? In case the husband comes home and he's got to run? I mean, I didn't understand.
He just wants to get some traction. You know what I'm saying? So get that fast switch.
God. Right, but that's bizarre.
So you've got a sexual preference, and without it, you are not really that interested in having sex because it's no good for you, or you can't do it unless you have things just so, right?
Phobia might be a good word, phobia. Who knows? Yeah. You're afraid of doing it indoors, but weird sexual preferences or phobias, the funnier the better. And you call us now at 1-800-520-1067.
I told you about the girl yesterday who would make me remove deodorant.
Yeah, weird.
That was her thing. She told me it wasn't about the smell. In fact, she liked the deodorant that I used, and it had nothing to do with whether or not I was clean at the time. She just did not like deodorant. And even if she couldn't see it, if I told her I had deodorant on, she would make me go in the other room and like baby wipe it off or get in the shower and clean it off. She couldn't stand deodorant. Like,
is it? You said you like the smell, so it must be the texture.
Yeah, because I said, oh, do you want me to just change deodorants? And she's like, no, it has nothing to do with the smell. I was like, oh, is it the chalky white stuff?
Right.
You want me to get like a clear spray?
That's weird.
She's like, no, I just something about you putting a spray or any stuff underneath your armpit, it grosses me out.
Did you say, hey, don't touch my armpit. Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, don't pay attention to it. But that was her thing. And much like the girl who insisted on it outdoors, it's just something mentally that she couldn't get over.
And she was hot, and so he did.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So you never saw that guy again then? You broke up with him after that?
Oh, silly boy.
Now, before we go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067 on your sexual preferences, the most common one, I would imagine, I'm just guessing here, would have to be people who have a preference as to the lights being either on or off, right?
Yes.
If you're happy with yourself, the lights are on. If you're not happy with yourself, the lights are off.
Now, what about this? Would this count? Mrs. Bean, Donna, insists I put a paper bag on my head. Now, what's that about?
Well, we don't have
time.
Try
not to throw up.
For that.
Oh, Lisa.
Wow.
May. That was harsh. Come on.
Well how about, done, Lisa. We have corrupted you completely.
How about just wants to imagine it's somebody else? I mean, there's a lot of other ways you could say that beyond trying not to throw up.
Then she would put somebody else's picture on the bag.
On the bag,
like
right.
Like George Clooney or something.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone.
All right. Let's try Kevin. He's on line one. 1-800-520-1067. What do you have? What have you been with that they've had? We want to hear your stories. Kevin, what happened to you, dude?
Hey, I used to date this girl who was into using electricity during sex.
Oh, I'm sorry, electricity?
What does that mean exactly?
She owned a vintage Tesla coil that was used for deep tissue massages back in the 30s and 40s.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
I don't either.
A Tesla
is it like
electrical stimulation, basically?
Exactly. They use it for, like, you know, releasing knots and whatnot in the back. That's what they used to use it for.
Okay.
So, anyway, she would plug it in, and it had different intensity levels, and she'd just hold on to the one end where the attachments would go, and that would send the current through her body. And
really?
Okay. Now, look, lots of people do a lot of things that are turn-ons for them, but was she so invested in the Tesla coil that that's the only way or close to the only way she'd ever want to do it?
It took her months to get me to agree to it, and in that time, we didn't really do much. So
That's sort of a deal breaker.
How did it work when you used that?
The most terrifying memory I have is she was performing oral, and her tongue actually created an arc between me and her.
Oh my God! What do you mean rad? You ever been shocked? Have you been really shocked?
No, but
I have.
I know. I mean,
it blows.
That stinks. But I mean, that's so like a bad horror movie. Like electricity coming from her mouth.
That's
in a movie. It's excellent.
All right, let me ask you one more question, Kevin, and then we'll take a break and come back with some more calls. Did you guys stay together for a long time, or did you break up with her because of this, or did that Tesla thing have nothing to do with why you're not together anymore?
It was awkward, but it didn't. I mean, we dated for like 6 months, but you know, it wasn't like a deal breaker for me. It was just sort of one of those things I had to be coaxed into. So,
yeah, wow. I understand. Gotcha. Excellent call, Kevin. Thank you so much for listening to Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. Come back with more right after this. Right now, we're talking about this unfortunate young woman in Britain who can only have sex outdoors. She's got something called sexual claustrophobia, and it made us start to think about other things that people have that are kind of wacky that they can only have sex when you fill in the blank. And that's the calls we're taking at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with let's get Bethany on the air. She's on line 8, calling into the Kevin and Bean Show. Bethany, thanks for holding on. What's going on, girlfriend?
Hi. I can only have sex with a man who's not naked.
Yes!
Really? You and Mike would be perfect.
Can we explain to you what sex is?
Well, I have to take my clothes off first. There's no way I can just go into sex with a man already naked. No way.
No way.
Okay, but then, what do you then, think that's naked? About?
What did you say?
Can he be naked after that?
Yeah, towards like the very end, that's fine. He can like get naked somehow, but like in the beginning, I've got to get all my clothes off first before he really even starts getting.
What do you think that's about?
I'm not sure.
Has it always been that way, or did something happen that made that start happening for you?
I just think I've started to develop my preferences, and that's my biggest preference. I mean, I gotta get my clothes off first.
Maybe that's a good thing to have, by the way. I mean, I think I applaud you for
that's
that.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But maybe you should step it up in the boy department. maybe you've got guys you don't want to see with their clothes off.
No, I've been with some really hot men. I like the sight of a naked man, but if I'm going to have sex with him, he's got to keep those clothes on until I'm completely naked and ready to go.
Okay. All right. That's bizarre, but okay.
You're a weirdo, but you sound hot, so we're going to let it pass this time. Thank you for the call. Let's try Dennis. He's on line 6. He also has some clothing preferences. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Lisa.
Weird sexual preferences.
the girl has to be wearing ankle socks.
Has to be wearing ankle
this
socks.
This is your preference.
Yeah, that's mine. If she's not wearing ankle socks, I'll get her a pair of regular socks and fold them down until they reach the ankle. It's just something about that, especially if she has nice legs. It just completes it.
Do you just love socks or do you hate feet? Is it possible
that
you're turned off by feet?
No, because I've been with a few girls who like, you know, who are into having their toes sucked, so that's not a problem with me.
Okay, as long as you're sucking on a sock. Then
okay,
cool.
but here's the distinction. Look, everybody has a preference. You know, maybe you like plaid skirts on a Catholic schoolgirl fantasy, something like that. But what we're talking into, we're getting in an area where you really would prefer not to have sex unless you can have things going your way. You've had sex with lots of women who weren't wearing the ankle socks, right?
Right, but you know what? I was with a girl who couldn't do it unless CNN was on TV.
Well, okay, that's because you're bad at sex.
I need to date her. That sounds like my kind of woman.
She just needs something to watch or entertain her because she's really not having a good time. But
he will get the girl socks
that was
if
my
she doesn't
point.
Have them.
He's got a stash standing by of
he
socks
does.
Just in case.
Yes. So this is pretty
that's
serious.
Pretty awesome.
But how do you bring it up? You have to bring it up way before sex because if you're getting ready to have sex and you go, hey, you mind putting on these socks? That's a little off-putting, don't you think?
No, actually, I just do it right before. She's like, what are you doing? I said, just hold off. You'll like this.
Right? Just don't worry about this, Missy.
Don't ask so many questions. All right, Dennis, you're awesome. Thank you for the call. Let's try Erica, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah,
hi, Erica. Welcome to the program.
Hey there.
Hi. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
What's your deal?
So I can't have sex in my own home. I can have sex everywhere else.
Any place but your home.
I'm sorry?
Any place but your home. Why?
I'm not sure, but when I do have sex in my house, I feel dirty. Like, I feel like I'm some kind of slut or something.
Oh, don't feel that way. You're not all a slut. You're not a slut.
Wait a
don't
second.
Don't feel that way.
That's so counterintuitive because I would think having sex at home would be the one place you wouldn't feel like a slut.
No. I can go outside and have sex anywhere else and like threesomes or anything, but at my house, it's just, I can't. I was married before and I can have sex with my husband there and he didn't mind because he wasn't into sex that much. I did, so I started cheating and, you know, I was all like, you know what, it's over because I need sex, but not
in the house. Wow.
You know, I wondered about, like, the girls that work at brothels where they stay there, like, they have sex with a bunch of men and then that's where they sleep. I always thought that bothered me, that idea.
Those beds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I, so maybe that's this times 100.
Oh, I don't know. I think I've never tried that.
I like that Erica. Here's what I like about Erica. She doesn't want to have sex in her house, so she got married, and then she wasn't getting enough, so she cheated on him.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So she's awesome.
I tried to get him, you know, to have sex with me somewhere else, but he was too nervous. He was a Poindexter, so he really didn't. He was too scared of me.
All right, let's not call people names too much here, woman. You're a little nutty yourself.
Poindexter, that's rough.
Yeah. All right, Erica, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's do one more.
You don't throw Poindexter around.
Right.
Willy-nilly.
No, that's the N-word as far as I'm concerned. Let's try Sandra on line 2. Now, this one sounds interesting.
I love your show. I listen to you every day.
Hi, Sandra.
We love you as well.
I dated a dentist about 5 years ago who would only do it if I wore sunglasses.
Oh,
there
if
you go.
You wore sunglasses.
And then I heard through a friend when we broke up that he would make patients in his office wear sunglasses, and he would come out with this big tray of like Ray-Bans or wraparound.
What?
You know, cat eyes. It was weird. He didn't like to see your eyes.
At work, I think he might be able to pull off, you know, it'll distract you and then you won't see what's going on or something. I mean, maybe. But when you're at home having sex and he goes, hey, here's some glasses.
He doesn't want eye contact.
What's with the eye thing?
It was weird. He, like, I'll never forget it. I was, like, trying to be all romantic and then he pulled open his drawer and it was, like, the sunglass hut in there.
It's impossible.
He opens his jacket. He's got, like, 75 pair of sunglasses. Take your choice.
So was there ever a time where either you or someone you heard about declined the offer to wear sunglasses and then would he still have sex with you or no?
I didn't date him for long, and I was starting to renege. I was like, you know, this is kind of weird, and then it kind of fizzled out. So I would opt to say no.
Did he want you to wear them all the time?
No, it was just during sex.
How about that?
We had a guy, an intern here, who had to wear sunglasses all the time, and he also did it during sex.
Yeah, but he's just a dumbass.
That guy never got laid.
He never had sex.
I hope.
Wow, that's
all right, Sandra. Roy Orbison.
Yeah. Now that you're calling him a renege, we're going to have to cut you off with the dirty language, too. But thank you very much for listening to the Kevin and Bean.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:36.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday, looking ahead toward tomorrow's program. By the way, Lisa, you're going to be very excited. Sam Worthington on the show tomorrow.
Ooh.
Star of Avatar, star of the upcoming Clash of the Titans. We're going to be talking to him. Also, Mr. Movie Phone is going to be here doing the movie beat as Ralph Garman is out, and tomorrow is Friday. That means the Week in Rage, our friend Adam Carolla. All that tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, I want to ask Bean a question. Happy with yourself?
What are you talking about?
Feel good about yourself? Feel good about the things you do, the things you say, the way you treat people?
I don't know specifically what you're referring to. My answer generally to that question is no, I'm not proud.
Well, that's good.
Why? What's going on now?
I'm glad that at least that's the case. Because earlier this morning, we had a conversation with Dewan.
Yeah. Oh, Dewan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California. Number one Kevin and Bean listener. Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
What's happening, man?
How you guys been?
We've been very good. You?
Guess who I met? Those two stars from the 90210.
You met them. All right, here's the deal on that. Has called, texted, emailed 700 billion times about how this is what needs to happen. So when he says he met him, we go, oh, our heads exploded.
Yeah.
Well, he's a huge fan of the 90210. That's his favorite show in the history of television, right? So this is a big deal to Dewan.
He makes 90210 pie.
Yeah.
He does.
Does that tell you what you need to know?
Janae Grimes and Anna Lynn McCord.
How did you meet them?
Somewhere in West Hollywood.
You just ran into them on the street, or they were having a personal appearance, or what, Dewan?
Just ran them on the street.
No way. No way.
April Fool's.
So it was an April Fool's joke.
Right. And he totally fell for
on us, and we totally fell for it because, to be honest, didn't know that capability existed.
Right.
Love Dewan.
I love Dewan, too. He doesn't seem like a guy who's necessarily, A, paying attention to the calendar, and B, is planning pranks on his friends.
Right. But nailed us.
Served.
Nailed us. And I'm saying good on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
He got us.
Serve you.
That's a good one, Dewan.
But I will meet them in the future.
Hey, Dewan, we were going to call you next week. You know that they're both coming in on the show 1 week from today, right?
What time?
Around 8 o'clock. Is that something you'd want to come down for? You want to talk to them on the phone, or what do you want to do?
Just come down to meet them.
Now, I didn't know this either. I didn't realize, but I don't pay attention to the schedule.
No,
much.
And Bean does. Yeah.
Would you behave, though, if we let you come down in person? You wouldn't embarrass us or anything?
No, I will behave myself.
How dare you ask that question, Bean, embarrassed us.
He's always a gentleman.
But you guys can email me.
We will. We'll give you a heads up. At this point, I still thought.
Yeah.
You think you'd enjoy that, though?
Yes, I will join you guys.
All right.
Well,
good time.
April Fools, it's too bad it's not really happening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dewan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got you April Fool's Day. Sorry, Dewan.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Good night.
I'm not positive that the understanding went both ways on that one, Bean. Yeah.
All right. I did feel a little bad when Dewan said, all right.
That was the saddest all right I've ever heard.
It is a little bit deflated. It did sound pretty much like I'd let the air out of his balloon, didn't it?
He was so proud of himself, and then you did that.
Yeah.
You're a big ass.
Yes.
No, come on. Now, you don't think that turnabout is fair prey? If he calls up on that topic to April Fool's pranks, we can't turn around and do the same thing to him?
No, not with Dewan. I don't.
Here's the thing. We got an Afro call that we'd like to play. In response to that, Bean.
Oh, no. Is this person going to hate on me now?
I got to say, I've been listening to the show for over 16 years, and I'm a little bit tired of, you know, the Dotos and the Dewans. And I had, you know, I've just had an ass full of them and the recaps for the people who haven't been listening and blah, blah, blah. And I got to say, when Dewan called on April Fool's and Bean gave him the smackdown, that just brought it all back around. So I'm back in. All right, bye.
So she could not be happier that it went the way it went. Yes!
This show delivers.
The bean got him.
Just to,
and the bean,
wow.
The
we have bean listeners.
The beep, by the way, just for the record, is the R word.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be too insensitive with that, but that's the R smackdown.
Well, I was unsure if DeJuan took it in good spirits or not.
Or understood it as well. Right.
And then I got this text.
Yes.
And
oh, then, no. Come on, don't make it
so
worse.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the text, and then, Bean, you can just interpret it however you'd like.
So you guys fooling me about 90210 stars, two of them will be in studio, huh? DeJuan, unhappy face.
Oh.
Little frown face.
So does he still think they're coming in next week?
Hard to say, Bean.
Hard to say. He's disappointed either way, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to make him sad.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you not did. Ashamed of it. I'm not proud of it.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
Exactly.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:49.
Dr. Drew Pinsky from The Love Line joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Poor guy, by the way.
In Sober House. What?
Working with Psycho Mike five nights a week on Love Line now. Yeah. This is a guy who's put a lot of time in on his career. You think he would deserve better. They shouldn't be punishing him this far into a great career, should they, by sticking him with Mike. So, anyway, we'll talk to Drew about Jesse James and a lot of other stuff that's coming up. Hey, speaking of Jesse James, time for the Showbiz report. Ralph is out for a couple of days, so we are filling in. There's a new report from a magazine called Life and Style. I'm not familiar with that magazine. As if things aren't bad enough for Jesse James, as if the rumors aren't already swirling that his wife Sandra Bullock is filing for divorce this week. Now there's a report that he was paying for sex inside Club Fantasy, a strip club in San Diego. They got a couple of reports about this.
I hear there's no sex in the champagne room.
I have also heard that. Apparently, this Michelle McGee, mistress number one, was working at the Club Fantasy in San Diego, and they have reports that four times last summer, Jesse James would show up and pay $400 an hour to take her into the dark VIP room alone, and that perhaps they have witnesses to say that naughty things were going on between those two, which is generally, they say, not the policy that the club allows, but he's Jesse James, so if that's what he wants to do, then let him do it.
What's the name of the place?
Don't write that down. Don't write that down.
What?
You should not go there.
Club Fantasy in San Diego. The report goes on to say Jesse James' appetite was insatiable. He spent additional money for another Club Fantasy stripper during that visit. As soon as Michelle was done with him, he grabbed another one of the girls. He was pretty aggressive with her. He was pulling her bathing suit aside, and then it goes on to even more graphic details that I cannot describe here. So, you know, even if you're great and you really are dialed into how to make things work with your wife, the more of these things that keep coming out, the further you get, you find yourself, you know, digging a deeper and deeper hole.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
even if you can explain away that mistress and that incident and that report and that story, then something else comes out. You got to start all over again.
You know, Kevin was interested in going down to San Diego and doing some research for the show, Lisa. And,
oh, is that? I'm sorry.
You know, I don't like your tone.
Oh,
fantasy, San Diego.
I apologize.
I just want to make sure everything's on the up and up because that's what I do. That's my role in society.
Okay.
Comcast is talking about bringing out 3D TV. There's been a lot of talk about this 3D TV. ESPN is talking about doing 3D TV. ESPN.
Yeah.
So we're talking about sports in 3D. Now, do you have to wear the dumb glasses? Yes.
But, you know, a lot of people have to wear glasses to watch TV, so maybe that's not that big a deal.
I know, but when you look at the giant strides that have taken place in the field of electronics, you know, through all these years, you still have to wear the dumb glasses. But having said that, to be able to watch sports in 3D sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine watching an NBA game in 3D?
I don't know if you guys are the same as I am on this, but when I am watching television, I frequently am doing something else at the same time.
Especially sports, right? There are times when...
Reading, eating, playing with the dog, whatever you're doing. How crazy would that be to look at all the other stuff that's not in, you know, 3D TV with the glasses on while you're trying to... I mean, you'd almost feel like you have to keep taking them off to put them back on, I think.
I can't relate to this conversation at all. I can only
do
one...
You don't do anything?
I really can only do one thing at a time. You know that. If I'm watching a sporting event, that's it. I'm tapped.
He can't even talk.
I can't even keep up with that half the time. But imagine being able to... My point being is not... Isn't it annoying if you have to take off the glasses because you're going to play with your dog? My point is, you're going to watch the Super Bowl... in 3D.
Yeah. Right.
How cool is that?
Yeah. No, I like it. I'm intrigued by the technology, certainly, and it is definitely here. I mean, there are 3D TVs available for sale right now, and they'll only continue to get better.
That's the answer is you do have to get a 3D TV. You can't use your existing set, so that makes it sort of difficult, but they're starting to, they're talking about doing it for the World Cup, which starts June 11th on ESPN.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So they would have probably two or three 3D channels for ESPN, and then right after the World Cup, you know, they would could probably put any sport on.
Yeah.
And by the way, I imagine by the time the next Olympics come around in 2012, there's no question right those won't be in 3D, right? And can't you also watch some stuff in 3D on your computer with similar technology? Haven't they figured that out as well?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I know high def you can, but I don't know about 3D. The story goes on to say they're talking about the Masters Golf Tournament, but I figured I'd tell you about sports because I think it's going to be really cool to watch sports that way.
Forget golf. Let's talk about sports.
Right.
You guys know who Nicholas Sparks is? Lisa, I know you do.
Yes, I do.
No.
He's an author. He wrote
He's
a notebook.
He's an author, Bean, and he wrote a notebook.
And
he's got to be stopped.
He wrote The Notebook.
Kevin.
Has written a bunch of crappy books that have been turned into crappy movies. A Walk to Remember was one, Message in a Bottle, Knights and Rodanthe, The Notebook, Dear John, which just came out this year. He is also the author of the original book and the screenplay for this new film that opened yesterday called The Last Song, starring the great actress Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Critics, by the way, have savaged this movie. RottenTomatoes.com, which is a site that we love that does kind of a collection of critics from all over the country and then assigns a percentage to it, gives it a 7% approval rating.
Ooh, that's about as low as it gets, right?
I was going to say, there's not much lower than that.
The New York Post called it, quote, the most dubious, dramatic debut of any singer since Britney Spears, referring to Miley Cyrus now, and that Miley's dramatic range was, quote, 1.5 expressions. Now, first of all, I'd like to say, hasn't stopped Kristen Stewart, huge star, making lots of money, making lots of movies, right? So you don't necessarily have to be a good actress in order to be successful.
And
right.
She has a built-in fan base,
right, but,
huge.
But
she sure
the right
does.
Product is the key. Her getting in a right movie is the key.
Right.
But I think Last Song is exactly the kind of teenage schlock that Miley Cyrus fans are going to eat up. Don't you think they're going to love it?
Yes.
And there's buzz around it because it's starring alongside her is her real-life boyfriend.
Oh.
So, you know, and he's like super dreamy and all the girls dig
him.
So
exactly.
There's that built-in kind of, you know,
drama. It'll be very successful like that.
Thank you to Psycho Mike for bringing in the dreamy boyfriend addition to that story.
Well, of course.
Really helpful. Listen, we're not allowed as part of the new company that runs this radio station to talk about stereotypes because they're hurtful.
Words hurt.
And by the way, we've also been told that we're not allowed to use positive stereotypes either. So if you say, you know, boy, I'll tell you, that team is made up of a lot of black guys that can really play basketball, then they're afraid that other black guys won't feel good about themselves. So you can't say that either.
Okay.
Having said that, I'm not sure Israel is doing themselves any favor. One Israeli lawmaker is attacking a major problem in his company, in his country, I'm sorry, outrageous movie popcorn prices.
Oh, my God.
Wow, they are going right to the source.
They are making a popcorn law. Now, is it too expensive? Of course.
Yeah, definitely. Well, a lot of movie theaters, they don't make any money on running the movies because of what they have to pay back to the companies that supply them. They make their living off the concessions. That's why they charge you $6 for something that costs them 45 cents.
This dude is going to make a law to cap the amount of money they can charge for popcorn.
I like
today,
that.
Today, your performance has shaken my belief in the Jewish people.
Hey, sign me up. I hope that law takes hold, and I hope it spreads to the United States of America.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's negative. I'm just saying maybe they're not doing themselves any favor in the stereotype world.
Yeah.
And finally, Gloria Allred, famous Los Angeles celebutourney, had not appeared on TV this whole week, and I thought we were going to get away without seeing her face. But she showed up yesterday with a waitress named January Gessert. The reason she held the press conference was to deny tabloid rumors that the waitress had anything to do with breaking up Reggie Bush and Kim Kardashian. Now, why these people need attorneys? I guess maybe they want to sue for libel if somebody says that she did something with Reggie Bush and she didn't, I guess.
Did somebody say that?
Well, it had been rumored, okay, yes, that Reggie Bush was seeing this girl before this girl. I think this girl had been seen leaving Reggie Bush's apartment before he and Kim split up, and that was part of the reason why they broke up and stuff. And maybe she's just getting ready to launch a legal fight, you know, to clear her good name of somebody we never heard of until 3 days
ago. Because she's a waitress. How else is she paying for an attorney unless she's got some sort of lawsuit brewing?
Yeah, well.
I don't even know if you have to pay Gloria Allred. I think if somehow if your case is tangentially related to a celebrity and she can get on TV and get coverage for herself, I think she might even do it for free. Who knows?
Wow. She is a TV whore.
Yeah.
And she really is.
This will not surprise you, by the way. Here's the PS on the story. Waitress January Gessert, who may or may not have been involved with Reggie Bush, it is also reported, has big dreams of becoming a singer.
All right.
All right.
And I'm sure she's very, very talented. All right. Today's Showbiz Beat. Birthdays of the Showbiz Beat. The worst looking 33-year-old I can imagine, ladies and gentlemen, from John and Kate Plus 8, John Gosselin is 33 today.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks bad.
Yeah.
He needs a makeover and some hair plugs, and he just needs a lot of help. And perhaps a new personality. Annette O'Toole, very talented actress. She's been in hundreds of movies and TV shows, probably best known as Clark Kent's mom on the Smallville show, turns 58 today. Susan Boyle, the winner of Britain's Got Talent, the number two best-selling CD artist of last year in the United States, just behind Taylor Swift. Susan Boyle is 49 years old today. Rapper Method Man turns 39, Colby from Survivor 36, and Joe Francis. Is he in or out of jail right now? The girl's gone wild guy.
I think he's out, isn't he?
Is he out now?
Yeah. He's been in and out so much it's hard to tell.
That's what she said. He is 37 today, and that is the show Bisbee.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is an addiction specialist.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
The host of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew on VH1.
Jay Bangalanga, put a Jay hat on your DeBozak.
And author of a terrific book, The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America.
Dr. Drizzle in the hizzle for schnizzle.
And can be heard on the nationally syndicated radio show, Love Line.
Nel tuaglio credo in eserato irio.
Gonna bust my flow all up on your grill.
Music cues, I sues, I muse, I cues, I'm twos, I cues at. You zoo, my kizzer, who zizzer, I zee.
Please welcome Dr. Drew Pinsky, everybody.
And, of course, the new Sober House airing Thursday nights at 10 on VH1. Dr. Drew, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Gentlemen, we got to do something with that intro.
We need to lengthen it.
Is
it true?
Play it more.
Is it true that you've been asked to join the Wu-Tang Clan? Is that true?
Well, I didn't want, but this is, I guess, the appropriate time to announce it. But in spite of being disturbed by that intro, it's not nearly so bad as going to sleep at night to wait for Psycho Mike and waking up in the morning for Psycho Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, we wanted to apologize to you for that because your life seemed to be going along quite well. And now you got to work side by side with Mike pretty much every night.
And then this. But listen, for those people that are maybe not aware, Mike is in there with me on Loveline, and he is, believe it or not, guys, doing a fantastic job.
No. Look, we've been working with Mike for like 6 years. We haven't seen anything to suggest that some good is going to come out of his association with you.
It's not so much Mike. It's his friend Rudy. I really think Rudy is,
Rudy's smart.
Rudy does bring the wisdom.
All right. The show, there you go.
I know that you are incredibly busy, and as always, we have a bunch of stuff we need to run by you. And I want to start with this, Dr. Drew. There has been so much talk. The latest celebrity to go into rehab and probably sex rehab is Jesse James. Yet there are an awful lot of people out there who still, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, who still roll their eyes at the mention of sexual addiction as if it's not a real thing. What do you do about that?
Yeah, I mean, I try to get people at least to understand two things. One is I say, look, you know, people used to roll their eyes in a similar manner about something called alcoholism, and they thought that was an excuse and a weakness. And I can tell you, when you treat these patients and close the door, they are really struggling, they're really miserable. And the fact is, whether you believe the diagnostic construct or not, the treatment models we use to approach that diagnosis works quite well for people. So it just works. Let's put it that way.
I think part of the problem is that people distrust it because it's always, my life just fell apart because I got
caught.
I got caught.
Right.
And
well,
so my first move is going to go to sex rehab just to show people I mean business. So I think they discount the reason for going. They don't go before they get caught.
But I would urge people then to look at just drug addiction. Who comes in for drug addiction? My patients always go, oh, you know, it's so hard. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. They go, yeah, you've been sick and tired for 5 years. Why are you coming to treatment today?
Oh, I got busted.
Come to treatment. Yeah, I got busted. My wife sent me in. My kids sent me in. My doctor said I'm going to die if I don't come in. Then they come in. And it's the same thing true with sex addiction. Somebody has to force them in. And consequences have to come to bear, or somebody like, say, Jesse James doesn't really see it as a problem.
All right. Well, okay. Let me ask you this, because I know that you're not speaking specifically to Jesse James' case. You're not treating Jesse James. I understand that. But a lot of people will look at him and go, it's not sex addiction if he just took advantage of the opportunities that he has as a rich, famous celebrity and had sex with four, five, or six, whatever it is, extra women over the last 5 years while he's been married. That's just a dog who's stepping out on his wife. That's not a medical problem.
That may or may not be true in the case of Jesse James. It's less clear than it is, say, with a Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods, he loved his wife, he loved his children, he had a life and a family and a career that he severely compromised because of his behavior, and the behavior which he wished to control, that was sex addiction. You can see the pain he's in, you can see the misery, you can see the lack of understanding of why he did what he did. In Jesse James' case, I don't know. I don't know yet. I mean, I tell you what I do see, guys, though, is in poor Sandra, I see something we call, again, you can roll your eyes or not, but it's something we call love addiction, where people idealize somebody, they ignore the red flags, they go for the unavailable bad boy who's so exciting, and the relationships are all about intensity and power rather than intimacy. And this is what happens with those kinds of relationships.
All right, what about Usher saying he's addicted to threesomes? Is that a real deal?
Are you asking so you can compare yourself against it, Kevin?
Yes. Okay. That is my reasoning, yes.
I understand we're going to meet in San Diego this weekend.
Can you be addicted to threesomes? Is that a real fake, doctor?
Not, you know, as part of sex addiction, sure. I mean, threesomes could be a drug of choice just the way crack cocaine could be.
All right.
Okay. All right. Let's turn our attention to the Sober House real quick. Another new episode tonight at 10 on VH1. I'm fascinated. One of the things that I'm fascinated with your show, and I know you do take some heat from putting celebrities on TV to treat them, and we've talked about that before, is you kind of force in the treatment. You force them to not be celebrities. You force them to be regular people and get out of the BS. And a guy like Dennis Rodman is a perfect example of someone you feel like has never had to be a regular person since he was 12 years old.
Right.
Last week, you made him take a minimum wage job and work a full day's work. Tell me what that was like and how eye-opening that was for a guy like Rodman, who's used to having everything handed to him.
Well, humility is a key component of embracing sobriety. And one of the, you know, originally when we started Celebrity Rehab, I wanted to put regular people in with the celebrities to point out that there's no difference, that we're treated all the same.
Right.
And unfortunately, when I started trying to get consent from the people, I realized they didn't understand what they were getting into. And a regular person cannot really render consent to do this publicly. While celebrities, they kind of understood what they were getting into. In fact, in season one, I'd always lean in and go, "You okay? Is this okay? The cameras bother you? Or you know, you're going to be ashamed of what you're doing. Is this okay?" And they'd all go, "No, I get it. We're fine." And finally, Mary Carey leans into me and she goes, "Drew, I've done just about everything on the camera. This is not a big deal."
Okay, that's true. There's nothing.
There you go. You know, they understand what this is. But in terms of the part of going from treatment back into the real world, you've got to get what we call a sober job, which is just being a humble person, a barrister, anything where you just are busy serving other people and just being a human being with this condition we call addiction.
Is he going to make it, Dennis Rodman? Is he going to make it? I mean,
he does more work in Sober House than he did in Celebrity Rehab. We got to bring his mom in. I brought some extra value. Yeah, no, she's great, by the way. And he softens a bit, but Dennis, I don't think really wants it. And he's got bad alcohol.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And the reason I said thank God is I remember how frustrated I was for you just watching you as the armchair guy going, how is Dr. Drew going to break through to this guy who is giving him nothing, is willing to put no effort at all into his recovery? I'm happy to see at least he's going through the motions, at least as if it means something to him in Sober House, which is nice.
And I'll tell you, the other thing tonight is a very intense experience we have with Tom Sizemore. He gets very violent, and it's quite a moment I'll never forget.
Wait a minute. Tom Sizemore gets violent.
I know, but it's in a way that was really, I was on Loveline when this started happening. I rushed over there and walked into what people will see on TV.
How many times has that happened in your life, Dr. Drew, in about a course of a week, a month, that where you're doing something and you must run?
When we're filming those shows, it happens 3 times a week.
Yeah.
In real life, it used to happen a lot. I've thankfully crafted my life so it doesn't happen so much anymore.
So you don't care about the other,
but
the other people.
No, but we see all these stories all the time. Here's Dr. Drew just trying to enjoy a high school football game. Oh, wait, 1 second later, here's Dr. Drew on the 50-yard line trying to save a kid's life. I mean, it does seem like drama breaks out wherever you are. I think it's Drew.
Yeah, or it's Gary Coleman having a seizure or something. It's,
right, exactly. Yeah,
it's been weird lately, I must tell you. I could do without it, thank you.
Are you
the other thing, at least I have some skills. I'm happy to be of help when I'm just doing
it. Right, but take it down a notch. You're making us all look bad. You don't have to save everyone.
All right, Sober House airs Thursday nights at 10 on VH1. Of course, five nights a week across this great land of ours. It's Loveline. Consult your local listings. The great Dr. Drew Pinsky. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week, dude.
Yeah, gentlemen, take care.
Your chance to win tickets to the sold-out Kevin Amin April Foolishness show coming up in about a half an hour. I'm very excited. We're going to be playing Does Kevin Know? Also, perhaps the greatest event that has ever toured, Nuclear Cowboys Freestyle Motocross Tour. Wait till you hear what this involves. We'll talk to Twitch himself, Jeremy Stenberg, coming up here in just a few minutes, right here on the Kevin Amin Show.
First,
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Right.
How dare you?
Bean has Asperger's.
Nope.
Yep.
And we've given him the quiz many times. He scores like 110% and still denies that he has it.
That's part of Asperger's, actually, right, denying it.
He's not good at being able to tell what people are going to respond to in his conversation. So he'll bring something up. He has no idea if it's going to meet with wild excitement, which by now maybe he should learn it's not.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be bored, or they're going to be annoyed, whatever. But
I'm not even sure he cares.
He doesn't care. That's it. The part of him is missing that cares how it hits the listener.
Right.
So we do thanks for that info, Bean, also known as Bean Barfs His Brain. And I'd like to start by telling Bean we don't need more clarification. This is what always happens.
That won't help, you know. You can tell him.
I am standing in the side of the room during the records and the commercials and stuff, and Bean will just say something out of the blue. Now, Bean is always online, so he reads stuff, whatever. He finds something interesting. We're not talking about, it's not a conversation he's adding to. These are all conversation starters that come out of nothing.
Right.
And end in nothing, because there's nothing else to say, for the most part. And I have rules. The rules are, don't respond.
Yeah.
When Bean says something like that, ignore it. And so I look at Lisa, I'm like, don't.
I get waved off all the time.
And I look at Mike, especially Mike now, and I'm like, don't say anything. So here's thanks for that info, Bean, for today. These are things that have pretty much been said in the last week, with the exception of one or two.
Okay.
Hey, Mike. Do you want to see a picture of the world's largest dog?
And why would you not?
So this one went all wrong. I just told you the rules. This one went all wrong. So Psycho Mike says, yes. And then Bean says, yeah. And then Lisa says, I'll bet it's going to be a big dog. And then Bean says, it is. And then Psycho says, this is going to be a huge effing dog.
You don't find this scintillating, this conversation?
I couldn't write fast enough to keep up with it. I mean, I need a stenographer
but
in here.
Did you see the dog?
No!
It was really big, Kevin.
Info Bean.
And then Lisa saw the picture and said, oh my God, how is that possible? And then Psycho said, that it's not small. Okay, so that was just Bean kicking things off, and Lisa and Mike did all
he knows keyword, dog.
Did all the damage there. Yeah. But,
thanks for that info, Bean!
Out of the blue. No one was talking about anything. I wonder what my girlfriend Hannah from the Finnish consulate is doing these days.
Oh, well, you remember Hannah when Dave and I went down for a Finnish meal in a sauna? We haven't talked to her in a long time. I wonder how she's doing.
Why don't you talk to her?
Everyone followed the rules and didn't respond. There was no response, so I wrote nothing. And then Bean says, That was funny when the King of Mexico and I went there.
It was.
And then no one said anything.
All right, we did good.
But how is it not depressing to you, Bean, that you would bring that up and then there's no response and then you say something else and there's no response? To me, I would go, wow, what a bummer.
I feel rejected.
People really don't care what I'm saying. Like, I really feel bad.
I have no knowledge at all of how my remarks are being received.
All right. This week now. These are all this week. Wow. I can't believe that Ryan Seacrest was just on Oprah Winfrey for the first time ever.
Now, again, he's been
famous. Info Bean.
He's been famous for
Info Bean.
For 10 years. The host of the
Info Bean.
Biggest show on TV. Why wouldn't he be on Oprah at some point before now? That just surprised
me. Right, Bean. If I could just explain something to you.
Yes. More information on the
sentence, wow, I can't believe Ryan Seacrest is just on Oprah for the first time ever. We all instantly knew all of what you just wasted our time with the last 30 seconds.
Right.
I was just surprised.
He has a lot of jobs he should have been on before. It's all in that first sentence. Got it?
Okay.
All clear?
That's that info, Bean.
So no one said anything. So okay. Then Bean followed that up with, he has 7 jobs. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, wow.
That's that info, Bean.
Hey, guys. Guys, I was listening to American Top 40 from 1978.
Oh, I remember this.
Now, this falls into the category of, you must stop telling us that you're so busy you've got time for nothing. That's what this falls into the category.
Yeah. But you can listen to the radio while you do many other things.
He was listening to American Top 40, which is the Top 40 countdown, from the year 1978.
And we didn't. We all exchanged glances. Let me just say that. In this studio, we all looked at each other like, oh, dear God.
And Saturday Night Fever, at that time, was selling 200,000 copies a day.
Hey, too much information and shit, man.
That's that info, Bean.
So not only was he listening to a countdown from 1978, then he told us information about how an album was selling in 1978.
A lot of copies. Really, that thing was moving. That was moving.
Yes, it was. 40 years ago or however long it was that happened. And finally, and this is my favorite because the rule is no one say anything. And Bean knows that's the rule now because we've said it many times. So Bean came with one of his best. This may be up there with the Millicent one. For me, I mean, Bean says out of the blue, did you guys know that a pig can run a 7-minute mile? Okay, now, I know, I think we'd been talking about marathon like a day or two before, something like that. But no one was saying anything right at the time. But Bean realized as it was coming out of his mouth that it was...
That's that info, Bean!
So this is how he actually said it. Did you guys know that pigs can run a 7-minute mile? Somebody say something! Because he wanted to get someone on record because he knew instantly that that was a thanks for that. I think we're making progress. I think he realized he had just said a thanks for that info bean moment and was acknowledging that.
Yeah. Good for you, Bean.
Good for you, Bean.
Yeah.
Good job.
Learning. Can I get a gold star on the bulletin board today?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this weekend. Not only is it Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Saturday night, we got tickets you can win coming up in about a half an hour, but it is, Kevin, did you die and dream this? Is this like, has there ever been anything in the history of the world that's been more in your wheelhouse than the Nuclear Cowboys Freestyle Motocross Tour? You're behind this somehow, right?
It is like they looked at me and they said, what would Kevin like specifically?
And then they
And then they put all of it in one show. It's unbelievable.
Motocross check, boobs check, fire check, loud rock music check. Well, it's happening at the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario, California. Tickets through Ticketmaster.com. And one of the great pro riders, X Games gold medalist Twitch, Jeremy Stenberg, on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Twitch, how are you, man?
Pretty good. What's going on?
Thanks for joining us. You got trouble you need to attend to right there?
No, we're good. We got the baby. Got both my daughters here chilling.
Okay.
Good for you. No joke, Nuclear Cowboys Freestyle Motocross may be the best event that has ever been staged in this country. Tell folks who haven't heard about it what goes on.
It's pretty nuts. There's a lot of pyro. There's dancing girls. There's trial bike guys, quad guys. And then you got 16 of the world's best freestyle riders in the world out there going for it.
You got Adam Jones. You got Mike Mason, Nate Adams, yourself, Ronnie Feist. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Feist.
Yeah. So you guys are all doing tricks on the motorcycles.
Every trick we would do at X Games we're doing there. So
awesome. So right there I'm in. And then you've also got pyrotechnics, a lot of explosions.
Lots of fire going on.
So right then I'm in. And then you have the Nuclear Cowgirl Dancers.
Yep.
So right there I'm in.
That seems good.
Let's not gloss over that here, Twitch. Tell me about that. Tell me what's involved with the cowgirls.
Well, they do they give us time when we're out there riding. We have to go back and change and get ready for different scenes. Like, so they go out and they do their dances and stuff like that, and it just gives us time to get ready for the next part of the show. Because then we don't know what we would do, like, to fill it in, you know what I mean?
All right, but don't act like they're time wasters, dude. I mean, there's people waiting for the girls to come out, waiting for you to go change. I'm just saying.
When you talk about getting ready for the next scene, this is what's fascinating about the Nuclear Cowboys Freestyle Motocross Tour, is this isn't just you guys going out there doing an exhibition and doing all your best tricks. I mean, this is choreography choreographed and theatrical. There's actually a story being told, right?
Yeah, throughout the whole time. So that was the hard part for us. We're used to just going out there and just riding our bikes and doing the tricks. And then when they came to this tour, we had to, like, read the script. And now that we got the script all down, like, we have these big cue cards we go off to remember what scene's coming up next. And once we see the scene, then we're like, all right, cool, we know what's going on. But it was definitely a little hard for us for all to start remembering.
It's like a supercharged circus. They've got a sky-high stilt walker. How do you work
that? Oh, my God.
How do you work that person in?
Yeah, definitely crazy.
Are you a good guy or a bad guy, Twitch?
I'm a bad guy. I'm not a militia.
All right.
Of course. Yeah, of course you are. And how far into this tour have you – how many shows have you done so far?
Oh, we've done – this will be our 14th show in Ontario this weekend.
That's crazy.
And I imagine it's just selling like crazy. I mean, I can't imagine that there's anyone
since New Year's. So
Anyone who's ever enjoyed motocross, this is like the best night of your life to get all of you guys in one place, plus with everything else going on. It sounds unbelievable, dude. It must be so much fun to be a part of.
Oh, definitely fun. For us, you know what I mean? It's the best tour in the world right now, and they got all the best guys on it, so we're definitely enjoying ourselves.
That was the first thing that I noticed when I saw the Nuclear Cowboys. I was like, oh, well, you know, I love the motorcycles, okay. I love the chicks, that's good. All right. Right? Loud rock music, good. Fire, good. Explosions, great. And then I looked at the names of the riders. I was like, wow. This is for real.
I know. We were surprised when they came to us with this, so we were ready to go. So we were like, all right, let's try it out. You know what I mean? So we're definitely pumped. Almost over now. We're already in talks of doing the one for the next year.
Matt, I'd like to help sit in when we pick the cowgirls, if you don't mind. If you need any help with that, I'm available. That's all I'm saying.
Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario, California. Tickets through Ticketmaster. It's Friday and Saturday night at 7:30. The Nuclear Cowboys Freestyle Motocross Tour. And I guess you can just go to Twitch's website if you want to find more information, or just Google Nuclear Cowboys with a Z. Always great to catch up with you, Twitch. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBee Show, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:51.
Bush.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin DeBee Show on a Thursday. Hey! That's Psycho Mike in for Ralph Lauren with the Showbiz Beat this hour. I just want to go on record before we hear a word from Mike. I voted against this, but I got overruled, so let's see how he does.
Good luck.
Let's talk some showbiz.
Can I vote again right now? Is it too late?
Too late.
That was not a strong start.
The Kardashian girls were getting all drunk up in Miami Beach, and one of them just couldn't keep her top on.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Please tell me that it was anyone but Khloé.
Of course it was Khloé. Oh, that's always the way it works out. That's always the way it works out. You'll be at a frat party, and your buddy will come up to you and be like, there's this girl over there, and she can't stop talking about how she wants to sleep with you. And she just can't keep her mouth, and you're like, oh, this is so awesome. There's a lot of hot chicks here.
This is heaven.
You walk over there, and it's the one sea donkey in the entire place. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, everybody on that part of Miami Beach is like, you won't believe it. The Kardashian sisters are over there. They're taking their tops off. You run down and it's the bush pig who just has to show everybody
like a Loch Ness sighting in Miami.
That's not good.
Lamar Odom's been practically asleep on the court for the last three games straight, so maybe it has something to do with the fact that you won't get your ass back home and take care of your man. Feed him his candy, do what you need to do, but he's sleepwalking out on the court.
He really has been. That's true. And we blame her.
We were talking earlier about Miley Cyrus's new movie, The Last Song. Yes. I guess it's an adaptation of that Nicholas Sparks guy. Uh-huh. His new book made
not
it to a movie.
Not interested.
It's getting just destroyed by critics. 7% approval on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think Lisa said it's almost impossible to do. I mean, you have to be...
Yeah, I don't know that any movies have been lower than that.
Those of you that don't know, Rotten Tomatoes takes all critics and averages them together. Right. So even the ones that lie and say it's a 10, you know, average together, it gets a 7%.
Yeah, so collectively as a whole, even people who wanted to screw with the ratio, they all agree this is a terrible movie.
Right.
But I also thought it was really interesting that she stars alongside her real-life boyfriend, and I guess her mother was involved in the production of the movie somehow.
Oh, right.
You know, she had some involvement.
Everything you're saying guarantees it's going to be bad.
Miley and this guy developed their relationship on set of this movie. The mom handpicked the male co-star. So she was going to Miley before the movie started with headshots of, like, handsome dudes.
Are you making this up or
no? I'm being dead serious. In fact, she went into detail discussing this process on Kimmel two nights ago. And it's really weird. Like, so essentially,
so
her mom
picking out her
handpicked
boyfriend?
Her boyfriend. Yeah, and Miley's like, you wouldn't believe how much my mom was really into this guy in particular. So I just knew he was the one for me because my mom has such good taste.
Wow.
And you hear these things like, I mean, there's a lot of child stars have a lot of things going wrong with them. But Miley in particular has that really extreme dead behind the eyes look.
Yeah.
You know, and it's stuff like this that you hear.
that makes you understand a little bit more how she's completely divorced from reality of what it's like to be a little kid. Because even things like meeting her boyfriends and developing relationships, that's all taken care of by the Miley machine behind the scenes.
By the way,
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV when they showed her concert. Yeah. And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get the special ones.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked. And it was really good. She was like, she was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. She's hosting, I guess, the award.
All right,
Teen Awards.
She's in a movie, actually. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, when she's pole dancing and stuff like that, it's not just something that she's coming up with. I mean, she's got a lot of influence happening.
But I'd just like to say, she said, my mom has good taste. Her mom married the guy that did Achy Breaky Heart.
You got that right.
That's true.
So I'm going to go with no on that.
Well, I guess in his time, he was a heartthrob. Back in the day,
okay,
before the frosted tips and the skin tight Ed Hardy. My point being is, like, most healthy child stars, you can see how they're able to separate, like, off camera, off camera life and on camera life. It's all blended for Miley, and that's why it's only a matter of time before it's like
absolutely true.
It's only a matter of time before it's like Bukkake films or whatever it is. But in a related note, we're talking about child stars. Just after Katy Perry got done hosting the Kids' Choice Awards and taking that volcanic blast to the face that actually snapped her neck back. It was so powerful.
She did get slimed, for those of you that don't know what he's talking about.
I guess she went on vacation. I don't really know much about the story, but here's the bottom line. This whole week she's been in bikinis.
Yes, a lot.
Okay? And these pictures are surfacing.
A lot.
And no one makes a bikini look better than Katy Perry. Maybe no one on Earth. When she talks and does stuff, she kind of sucks because she's really annoying. But when she's in a bikini and you can look at her, she's the best. Yeah. And so that's why I put up at KevinandBean.com a gallery for you all to look at.
All right.
Of pictures of Katy Perry in different bikinis.
It's very thoughtful.
All right.
Really, she is amazing. I find Zooey Deschanel to be probably like...
She's way hot.
One of the hottest chicks on the planet. And she really does it for me. Mm-hmm. And Katy Perry looks exactly like her except has a kicking body on top of it.
Right.
So she's like a perfect person, but then she talks and she ruins all that. So like I said, KevinandBean.com, go ahead and check out the my little gift to you and your eyes. It's a gallery of pictures of Katy Perry in a bikini.
That's what the internet was created
weird,
for.
But she was a fun weird.
I sort of have a boner.
Yeah.
Work.
I love these lists that Ralph commonly does of the top 10 best and worst. And here's a list of the top 10 best and worst rockers or drummers in rock and roll history.
Oh, best and worst drummers.
I mean, that opens up for a lot of debate because everybody has their own opinion. But this is a terrible list.
Meaning it's not accurate to you?
It's ridiculous and horrible.
Okay.
The top three best are Ringo Starr, number one.
I thought he was considered not good.
No, Ringo is considered a great drummer.
Ringo is a good, solid rock and roll drummer.
Okay.
He's not the best drummer in rock and
in
roll
world,
history.
Yeah.
Okay. Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick, number two. And Grohl, number three.
Dave Grohl, okay.
That's a reasonable top three list. I mean, you're right. They're not going with a bunch of the flashy Neil Peart and guys like that. But there's nothing embarrassing on the list. But you're saying the worst drummers, that's where it falls apart.
Neil Peart was number eight. Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush. John Bonham from Led Zeppelin, number seven. And Stuart Copeland from the Police. Those are guys I would have liked to have seen in the top five above Bunny Carlos and Ringo Starr. But not that big a deal. Now you get to the 10 worst. Number one worst drummer of all time. So, now, I know the guy gets a lot of crap for not being the best drummer on the planet in one of the biggest bands in the world.
Right.
But Lars Ulrich, not the worst drummer in the history of rock and roll. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
He's one of those guys that has been around for so long in such a high-profile band that it becomes cool to say, wow, is he a bad drummer.
Exactly.
Wow.
And no other band...
He's not great.
Maybe no other band in history has influenced more people to pick up the guitar than Metallica. You know, kids just... It's one of those bands that you hear Master Puppets, you're like, I want to learn how to play guitar. So they have this kind of pedigree of great musicians in the band outside of him. But not the worst drummer of all time. I'm thinking number two, Meg White, should take that number one.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what
saying.
I'm saying? With a bullet. I smell a winner with her.
She should take number one and two.
Terry Bozzio from The Knack, also on the list. He's number three. And somehow Josh Freese made the list of the top...
That makes no sense.
Wait, of the worst?
Yes.
What?
If you ask any musician from amateur all the way up to some of the best guys on the planet, if you could pick anybody to be on your record drumming for you, he's on a short list of people that would go on that list. So...
Toured with Nine Inch Nails. He's been with every band.
Oh, I mean, you almost don't have enough paper to make the list of bands he's drummed for.
That's stupid. Where'd the list come from?
I don't know.
No. All right, good.
That's some good research.
So continuing with my great research, celebrity birthdays is a list I don't have in front of me. Okay. So just go ahead and throw those out if you like. If not, that was the Showbiz Beat.
There you go.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, my little Veruca, one of my little puppies.
Bean's dog, yeah.
Is trouble, as you know.
Right.
And I use this spray on her that I always have on me in the event that she gets a little bit too aggressive or does something she's not supposed to do or, you know, advances on one of the other dogs in an unsafe way. And it's citronella spray, basically is what it is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt her. It's not like macing a dog or anything like that. It's not a taser. It's just a very powerful scent that it just overwhelms her, and she just turns and runs. Yeah. You only have to hold the can up, and she's gone.
It doesn't
she
hurt doesn't them. They just don't like it.
They don't like the smell. Yeah.
Exactly, because it's overwhelming to their sense of smell, which is already very powerful anyway. And I thought, how awesome is that? It doesn't hurt the dog and it's super effective. Why can't they do something like that for humans? Well, what do you know about that? It looks like that's happening. Looks like that's the new face of warfare. Am I right?
Have you ever read Pepper Sprayed Bean?
I never have.
Oh, it's so fun.
Of course, Kevin has.
It's good. Just coughing, your eyes start watering, and it's good times. It's really good times. But in India, Bean is right. They're starting to do some research, and they're trying to weaponize things that maybe they hadn't thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular one, like Bean says, is non-destructive. It's just pretty much like pepper spray. Well, you pretty much just have to run from it. And it's made out of chili.
Oh.
The Indian military has a new weapon against terrorists, the world's hottest chili.
Dude.
So
I could definitely see how that could be a weapon.
They have created chili grenades.
Oh, my God.
So basically, you would throw it. It would explode with chili. It's so hot that it's just like pepper spray. You have to run, close your eyes, whatever.
Oh, my God. It's You'd be completely debilitated, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think so. It's in the Guinness.
How hot is this chili?
It's hot, Bean. Well, they measure it in something called Scoville units, which I don't know what that is. That measures the spiciness of mm-hmm. something. And they did say that jalapeno peppers measure from 2,500 to about 8,000. Yeah. This is a million.
Oh,
yeah.
You'd feel that.
You'd feel that a lot. Yeah. So we had Alex, our producer, get us in touch with the Defense Research and Development Organization. I believe we have someone on the line named R.B. Srivastava. Am I saying your name correct, sir?
You did pretty well, actually.
Okay, thank you.
How are
All
you?
All right. Are you a Mr. Srivastava or Dr. Srivastava?
I am a doctor, but you can call me Mr.
Okay.
I don't know why I would do that, but all right. All right, doctor. So, did we...
So getting that doctorate has really paid off.
A doctor in India only makes you qualified to do customer service for Dell, so don't worry about it.
Okay, I understand. All right, so were we accurate in our description of the world's hottest chili pepper?
You got it. It sure is hot.
But this isn't exactly chili pepper. This is actual chili. And you figured out a way to weaponize it.
Correct. Okay. We have made a condensed powder of what is considered to be the hottest chili in the world, grown in the northeast of India here.
Okay.
And
okay.
When it turns into a noxious gas, it makes you useless in battle.
Okay.
Because you are rubbing your eyes mm-hmm. or tending to your burning skin.
Oh, man.
Okay. So how is it delivered? What do you put it in? Some sort of a bomb?
Correct. We use it in grenades, handheld bombs that soldiers can throw. It is very, very effective non-lethal weaponry.
Well, that's a good direction to go. I mean, it is nice to see that you can disable a person without having
without
to kill.
Killing them.
Considering the population problems and terrorism that we have in India, we are really pushing to develop a lot more non-lethal weaponry so that we don't have to open fire in the riots and protests that we have almost every day here in the big cities of India.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, this is fascinating research. What are there some other things that you're working on, or is this the be-all to end-all?
As you can hear,
you're in a jacuzzi?
There is bubbling in the back, which means I'm in a laboratory.
A laboratory, I'm sorry. Okay.
That means right. I'm developing other weapons as we speak.
Okay, other than the chili grenade, what else?
Well, have you ever had the feeling that you left your iron or perhaps your pilot light on?
The iron, I have done
that. Yeah, but the pilot light is supposed to stay on.
Yeah.
It's very distracting. Good point.
Like, if it's off, you have a problem with the pilot light.
Omar liked that one.
Wait, Omar's with you?
Yes, right. Omar Sripranhanta. He's my assistant here in the...
What's his last name?
Sripranhanta.
Okay.
All right, well, let's just stick with the iron then. So what happens? We leave our iron on at home, and then what?
It's very distracting. You can't fight that way.
Right.
I've made a bomb that makes you believe that.
You made a bomb, so yes. that if I'm a soldier,
you're a crazy terrorist, and you've come to, you say, "I hate you, Muslims. I'm going to bomb you." But did I leave that iron on? I don't know. Then you run away, and you probably call someone or go back to your house.
Have you tested that one?
No, it's only in developmental stages.
I see. Okay.
Along with my, I think that my underwear is crammed up my ass. Bomb. Now, have you ever had that feeling all day?
Oh, yeah.
A certain pair of underwear you wear, it, it's like just a little bit. You're like, is it crammed up my ass or is it not? Right. So you have to keep reaching down, but you don't want to do it in public.
Right.
So you go to the bathroom.
Right.
And then you check your underwear crammed up your ass. It's impossible to fight that way.
Right, but
yeah, you can't fight if you got a wedgie, sure.
How are you making a bomb that makes me think that I have a wedgie?
That's a secret.
Okay.
Get another way.
What about the bomb that makes you feel like you've got a piece of food stuck in your teeth, but you just can't get it out? So you spend all day with your tongue playing with it in the back of your mouth.
I do hate that.
That's terrible, right, Lisa May?
It is.
Lisa May, it's terrible.
It's awful.
Yes, and you can't get it out, and you don't have a toothpick handy, and you just keep playing with it and playing with it and playing it with your tongue, and then perhaps when no one's looking, you bite your fingernail or get something that you can poke through to try to get it out.
Sure.
And you spend all day, you're consumed.
Right.
Try to battle like that.
I think you have solved the world on terror. Well done, Doctor.
Thank you.
What a 6.7 K Rock.
Man.
It's 9:40.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on down there? What kind of nonsense is happening?
I don't want to know.
You'll see soon enough.
All right. The best news. Time for the Showbiz Beat, by the way. Ralph is out for today. We're filling in. The best news Kevin will hear all month, maybe all year, is a sequel to his favorite movie of all time, The Hangover, ladies and gentlemen. The Hangover 2. Of course, it had to happen when the first one just came out of nowhere to become the highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time. What did that end up making? I don't have it in front of me, but it was something north of $400 million, right? It was a huge, huge hit, right?
It was just amazing. I don't know how my only fear is how you would top it.
I don't know.
When you hit a home run, to me, that movie was a home run. You don't want to go again.
No.
Because you're not going to hit
it. It's going to be a home run.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough.
Well, I was interested in some of the behind-the-scenes negotiating that's been going on because they, you know, they got the actors so cheap. Zach Galifianakis, Bradley Cooper, and Ed Helms, all were the three of them together cost less than $1 million for the first movie. So you can imagine that they, you know, Warner Brothers really got to pony up to get them back for the sequel, right? Because the first one was so big. So they're going to be paid more like $5 million for this movie. Todd Phillips, the director co-writer, will be paid about $10 million.
Good.
For The Hangover 2. And now it's a question of when they can get it on the schedule because everybody's busy. Everybody's got other things going on. And they're hoping to shoot for October to start filming The Hangover 2. It'll be out next year.
That's going
to
be so great.
It's going to be a cash cow. That thing's going to make money, right?
I would certainly think so.
Even though they're having to pay a lot more to get it made, I think it's still going to be worth it because there's so much anticipation for it.
Shakira, who's...
Yes.
She's a hot little midget. I don't know if you've seen her or not. She's 5 foot. 5'1"
Yeah.
I think she's like 4'11". Wasn't she like right on the cusp of being an actual clinical midget?
Super sexy Colombian singer.
Mm-hmm.
Hips, straight shooters.
They don't lie.
She told Fabulous Magazine, which I'd never heard of. Has anyone heard of Fabulous Magazine?
Sounds like something Cameron would subscribe to on Modern Family.
That she struggled with body image issues and insecurity her entire life.
Yes.
But she feels a lot better since entering therapy. And loves to go to her counselor's office to talk for an hour.
About her body.
About her body.
Oh, wow.
So there's some place in the world where a guy goes home and his wife says, "Hey, what'd you do today?" And he said, nothing. You know, Shakira came in, talked about her body. Helped her with that.
Mike, are you going to put Shakira on your Hot Chicks with Low Self-Esteem website? It sounds like you have to.
You got it.
Here's the latest celebrity feud. I love this so much. It's LL Cool J versus the Fox News Network. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's blowing up. Sarah Palin, as you know, former vice presidential candidate, probably the presidential candidate for the Republican Party in 2012, gets paid by Fox. She's a commentator on Fox, right?
Yeah.
And they're promoting a special that's going to air tonight called Real American Stories. And one of the interviews that they promote is with LL Cool J. Well, LL is really ticked about this because he didn't have anything to do with the Sarah Palin show. He wasn't interviewed for this show. It's an old interview that he did for somebody else.
Oh, no
so kidding. He said this morning, he tweeted this morning, Fox lifted an old interview I gave in 2008 to someone else and are misrepresenting it to the public in order to promote Sarah Palin's show. So Fox hears that and they say, all right, if you don't want to be a part of this, we're going to cut you out. In fact, here's their quote. Real American Stories, which is the name of the special, features uplifting tales about overcoming adversity, and we believe Mr. Smith's interview fits that criteria. However, as it appears that Mr. Smith, which is LL Cool J's real name, does not want to be associated with a program that could serve as an inspiration to others, we are cutting his interview from the special, and here's my favorite part, and wish him the best with his fledgling acting career. Now look, isn't LL Cool J on the NCIS Los Angeles? Isn't he on a huge television show right now? He's been in a bunch of movies. He's obviously got 10 platinum albums as a rapper, too. But the guy's had a phenomenally successful career. But he doesn't want to be part of their Sarah Palin BS, and they basically start throwing dirt at him.
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down.
Imagine his surprise, though, when he saw that he was being promoted as being part of this new Sarah Palin show.
Yeah.
Of course. You wouldn't want to be on that.
No.
K-Fed, of course, is on Celebrity Fat People. What's that called?
Fit Club.
Boot Camp. And he was on a talk show, and he tried to convince the talk show host that he packed on the pounds by drinking soda. That was his problem. He was drinking
just soda.
Just soda.
That's all he did?
Just drinking soda. A lot.
Well, I mean, I would imagine. I mean, didn't he say he was drinking a ton, though? It certainly would add pounds.
Sure.
Did Mike? I mean, drinking a lot of soda is going to make you fat.
He said 24 a day.
That is double the amount of calories I have in a day just in soda.
Right.
So,
but,
yeah.
But let's add in beer.
Yeah.
And weed.
Yeah.
And then the munchies.
Yeah.
There's a lot more than sodas going on here is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Top 10 TV shows this week, according to the Nielsen family. I always think this is interesting to see how in step your viewing habits are with those of the rest of America. Number one, for instance, again this week, American Idol. The Tuesday night edition of American Idol. That's where the kids come out and perform. Number two, Dancing with the Stars. Nope, don't watch that either. Number three, American Idol Wednesday. Four, Undercover Boss on CBS. Five, 60 Minutes. Now, that's one I do watch.
I tape it, and if Bean raves about something, which happens about once every 2 months.
Yeah.
Then I'll go back and watch that particular
segment. That's
a good
way to do it.
That's really the only way I do it.
So this past Sunday, you should watch this past Sunday show, though, to see the Russian multi-billionaire who bought the New Jersey Jets doing his first ever interview. Fascinating. Fascinating.
The Nets, you mean?
The Nets, right. New Jersey Nets. Okay. Right. What did I say?
I thought you said Jets, but yeah, that would be interesting. So I'll watch that. But in general,
2.5 Men, number 6 on CBS. Big Bang Theory, number 7.
Does it help that I tape it but don't watch it?
I don't know if that counts in the Nielsen's or not. Number 8, NCIS. Number 9, Amazing Race.
That one I watch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so one. And number 10, Castle. So that's your top 10.
That's a good show that I wish I watched more of, but yeah. Yeah, that's not my top 10, really. That's not even close to my top 10. Mm-mm. Eminem is tweeting that his new CD is finally coming out. He's doing another one. It was supposed to be out by the end of last year, called Relapse 2. I don't know if anyone cares about Eminem.
I
still love him.
I think he's still relevant.
Loved Relapse. Yeah. I just think he's great, but I don't know how in the public consciousness he is. But I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully that'll happen soon.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Get me some wing going on here, Psycho Mike, when we get to that birthday. Former VP Al Gore, 62 years old today. He gets props for inventing the internet, not so much for burning the globe down with global warming. Way to go, Al. Also, actor Christopher Walken, 67 years old today.
Nope.
Actress Shirley Jones, 76, another Oscar winner. Rhea Perlman, she was Carla on Cheers, is 62. Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi, 39. And, of course, Angus Young from AC/DC. It's his birthday. We play this for him.
Back in black, I hit a sack. I've been too long. I'm glad to be back. Yes, I have let loose.
Listen to his guitar work.
From the news that had me hanging about. I keep looking at the sky because he's getting me.
He's rocking.
Forget the hurts because I never got. I got my life.
What's that? Whatever happened with Wing calling the Afterline and leaving us a little song? She doesn't do that anymore.
Dude, we played
play more of this. Turn it up.
We played like 17 songs. What do you want from her?
I love Wing.
Go, Angus. Can't you download free beds to sound maybe like that song that would sound better?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Maybe lower the key?
A bit.
It does seem like she's a singer for a living. Go ahead and pay the $15 and buy the AC/DC karaoke CD. That's what we're saying.
And then maybe a little auto-tune. But I'll tell you what she has. She has phrasing. That's what she has.
She does. All right. I think that's about enough. I think I've heard enough right now.
I will listen in our own time. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. We have we have Dr. Drew. It's Thursday.
Oh, okay.
We have Dr. Drew every Thursday, so we're going to talk to him about Usher's addiction to threesomes.
Usher.
Perhaps.
And he's got Rape House, or what's his show that's on now? He's promoting some other show. Rape House.
I think it's
Sober House.
Sober House. That's it.
That's a very different house. We're going to talk to Twitch tomorrow. He's got a crazy show that involves fireworks and hot chicks and motorcycles and explosions.
Wow, that is right up your alley.
It's like it was made for me.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him. We got Joshua Jackson on tomorrow's show talking about an all-new Fringe, which I'm excited about. That show rules. And we are going to give away tickets for April Foolishness,
which does not star Patton Oswalt.
That's correct. Even though Lisa said that a minute ago,
I would like to correct myself.
Yeah. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hey, speaking of April Foolishness, this is big news. I know a lot of people have been frustrated because the show sold out in less than an hour. They were not able to get tickets, and I'm not going to guarantee this will work for you. But today at 1 o'clock, a limited amount of production holds are going to be released. Now, this isn't hundreds of tickets. This is dozens of tickets, okay? Once they get the
Actually,
thing set up.
It's a single.
After they get the venue set up, oftentimes they see what the line of sight is. They see what kind of equipment they need to produce the show, and then they get a few extras left over. So you do have an opportunity today at 1. Get them while they're gone. You don't need a password for that, by the way, and your proceeds will benefit both local charities that we're raising money for this time around, Boarding for Breast Cancer and Camp Lore. Get all the details at krock.com. Kat's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Stick around for the Dirty Heads featuring Rome. Also, Audio Slave, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Gorilla's latest, Local H, Muse, and None of This. Coming up on the world famous K-Rock.
Worst singer ever. Worst singer ever.
Yeah.
Okay.